Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. I've been asked to speak on the subject of the tribulation. How in the world that you can preach on about 13 chapters of Revelation besides the bulk of Old Testament prophecy in 15 minutes, I don't know. But I do want to give you an outline this morning of the tribulation, the time of great tribulation. Now, I make a comparison of this time to the tribulation that we as Christians have during this age of grace. The Lord Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But this is a time of intensification of tribulation. Tribulation the great, such as was not since the world was, neither shall be at any further time. Except those days should be shortened, the scripture said, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now let me give you first of all, this morning, some of the descriptions of the tribulation, some of the names by which this period of time, which shall begin at the catching away of the church or the rapture of the church, as Dr. DeHaan so vividly brought out this morning, and which shall end with the revelation of Jesus Christ, his coming again with his saints with power and great glory. A period of 7 years, of course, and I don't have time to go into all of that, but let me mention some of the names that is given in the scripture to this period of tribulation. First of all, Daniel tells us, and you can just jot the references. If I had time, I'd spend some more time on each one of these. In Daniel 12:1, and he said, there shall be a time of trouble. A time of trouble. It's called a time of trouble, such as was not since there was a nation even to that same time. Daniel calls it a time of trouble. Then Jeremiah in chapter 30 and verse 7 says that it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Not the time of the church's trouble, but the time of Jacob's trouble. And the Bible says that he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. And then we also learn from the 9th chapter of Daniel that this is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. I wish that I had time. If I'd had the time, I would have spent it right here, at least several moments, on the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Notice first, this time of tribulation is called the time of trouble by Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 1. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble by Jeremiah, chapter 30 and verse 7. It's called the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, of 70 weeks. Daniel tells us there that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Israel. I was glad for the distinctions that Dr. DeHaan brought out from the book of Corinthians, the three divisions of mankind, the Jews and the Gentiles and the church of God. And I believe if we can keep these things straight in interpreting the scripture, we'll be saved a lot of difficulties. Now, this is a time of Israel's trouble, a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of great tribulation, such as was not since there was a nation. And God says, Jacob or Israel shall be saved out of this trouble. And as I said, then the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, which is to bring in everlasting righteousness. After the 70 weeks are over, then there is to be righteousness. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. So we also learn that it's the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Fourth of all, it's called the day of Christ in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, the scripture said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. So it's called the hour of temptation. There are others, descriptive names given to this period called the tribulation. I've just mentioned five this morning. Now, I'd like for us to go back into the Old Testament and find the tribulation prophesied. I love the Old Testament scripture. The Old Testament has really given us the foundation for the new and an explanation of many of the things that we find in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I would like for you to take your Bible and turn with me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 26, and we'll read through verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 26, and we'll read quickly through verse 30. I call heaven to witness and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen. I'm reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 26. Whither the Lord shall lead you, and there ye shall serve gods, and the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if thou, thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. Now let's notice some of the things that Moses said now in this second book of Moses. Let's summarize his prophecy. First of all, this word was given to Moses and then passed on to Israel even before they possessed the land in the first place. And he tells them that they're going to be able to go on into the land and possess the land, but they will be driven off the land of Canaan, verse 26. And then he tells them that they're going to be scattered amongst the nations of the earth. And anyone that knows anything about history knows that that prophecy of Moses, even before they entered into the land, has literally come to pass. The sole of their feet has not found rest wherever they have wandered. They are wanderers amongst the nations, even to this good hour. A few months ago, I had the privilege of being in the Holy Land. I thought I knew what a Jew looked like until I went to Palestine, to Israel. And I had to change my mind. Some of them looked like Negroes from some of the Arabian countries in Egypt. And some of them looked like Swedes and Scandinavians. And some of them looked like we picture them here in this country, Brother Jacob. I thought I knew what they looked like, but I didn't until I got over there. Oh, listen, my friend, the words, the prophecy of Moses have literally come to pass. Yes, you're going to be permitted to go into the land and possess the land, but because of your idolatry and because of your abominations, I'm going to take you up out of your land and scatter you to every nation under heaven. That's what God says here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You will be scattered among the nations, and only a comparative few of you will be left. Look at it. Only a few will be left. My dear friends, when you stop to think that there are only about 16 million Jews in all the world today, only about 16 million. Hitler took care of about 6 million of them. Almost exterminated them. And as Dr. DeHaan has brought out, if Satan had his way, he'd kill every last one of them. But God is going to intervene. God is going to spare them. Listen, my friends, in verses 28 and 29, the scripture tells us there the reason for this dispersion, the reason for this scattering of the Jews throughout all the nations of the earth is because of serving other gods. Serving the gods of silver and gold rather than serving the God of their fathers, the God of heaven. But listen now. God's promise, my friends, to them was that if they would seek the Lord with all their heart, they would find him. If with all your heart you seek me, God says, I'll meet with you. You can find me. There's coming a time, beloved friends, when they shall seek the Lord with all their heart. This one who is despised. This one of whom they said, we will not have this man to rule over us, have the authority over us. Let his blood be on our hands. They're going to change their tune one day. They're going to change their attitude. They're going to change their thinking toward him one day. With all your heart you truly seek me, ye shall surely find me. And God says that they are going to seek the Lord with all their heart. Look at verse 30. When thou art in tribulation. Yes, God is going to bring them, my friends, into tribulation, into a great tribulation, such as was not since the world began. And as Jesus has said in Matthew 24, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, they shall be shortened. Yes, my dear friends, they're going to be brought into tribulation. When is this tribulation? Look what the scripture says in verse 30. In the latter days. In the latter days, the tribulation. I know a lot of folks think that we're in the millennium now. That's right, all of these amillennialists teach that we're in the millennium now and that Satan is bound now. I said, he sure is bound to get you if you don't watch out. If he's bound now, wouldn't you hate to be here when he was turned loose? Huh? No, my dear friend, there is coming a time of tribulation. Great tribulation. God says Israel's going to be saved out of it. Now let's turn in our Bibles very quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13. I love the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 13. We'll begin our reading here with verse 6. Notice now, Moses has said that Israel's headed for tribulation in the latter days, but she's going to repent. She's going to mourn because of him. and travail as one would for his only son. Now, Isaiah chapter 13, beginning with verse 6. How ye for the day of the Lord. That's another expression referring to this time of tribulation. How ye for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. Listen, and they shall be afraid. Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, men's hearts failing them for fear. Here it is. Here it is. Isaiah said, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. And they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, and their faces as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Read the Revelation and you find that pictured so graphically. Very things that we're finding here, prophesied by Isaiah, we find repeated by the Apostle John in the Apocalypse. I've been preaching on my daily radio broadcast on the Revelation, a verse-by-verse exposition of it, and made this observation that there isn't anything, there isn't a symbol in the Revelation that's not either explained there or somewhere else in the Bible if we'll take time to find it. God has it. God has it in his word. Now listen, it says, to lay the land desolate, he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going down, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the wicked for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now let's see some things that Isaiah has told us here. Here's a picture of civilization as we know it with God left out of it. Civilization without God, the works of men's hands will come to naught. The Bible says there in verse 9 that the land shall lay desolate. The stars and the moon shall not give their light in verse 10. Just as Matthew 24:29 says, the sun shall be darkened, the moon refuse to shine, and the stars shall fall from heaven. What a time of anguish and a time of trouble and a time of sorrow such as this world has ever known. That's what this world is madly rushing forward to. The judgment of Almighty God. Oh, I tell you, God's been speaking to me out of his word how important it is that we preachers preach on judgment. Judgment for sin and judgment of unbelief and the judgment even of the nations of this earth. God says he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Every man's work is going to be made manifest. Yes, listen here. Verse 11, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. You sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. In that day, listen, in that day, Isaiah 17:9 says, there shall be desolation. Isaiah chapter 17, if you'd like to turn quickly, and I must hurry. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 9, in that day, shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation in that day. Listen, in verse 10, we find Israel back in the land, but in unbelief. Notice it. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips. Go to Israel today, and they're in the midst of a building boom. Desolate wastelands where huge apartment buildings, many stories high, it looks like New York City or Chicago. And all over the countryside, you find them planting trees and shrubs and orchards and so forth. Truly, the desert is blossoming as a rose right before our very eyes. Isaiah said it would be that way. He said they're going to listen. They're going to plant. In that day shalt thou plant make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make the seed to flourish. They think they've got everything under control. We're building, we're building. And then what does God say? But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Yes, my friends, everything that man is building is going to come to naught. God says, I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. God says, I'll bring them back into the land and they'll start building and they'll start planting in the land. And then about that time, I'll bring judgment. Here it is. But the harvest, that's what this ungodly world, this wicked world that crucified Christ, this world that's unfriendly to the grace of Christ today, that's what this world is coming to. It's coming to a heap, a big pile. The day of grief and desperate sorrow. Now, I've got to close. Let me mention just briefly a few things that the Scripture does bring out concerning this time of unprecedented sorrow and anguish. Luke 21 says in verse 23, it's a time of great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Revelation tells us that the judgments are going to come from above and they're going to come from beneath. There'll be a terrible earthquake that will take many lives. Men will be scorched with great heat. Satan will be cast out of the heavenlies and be on earth just for a little season, having great wrath because he knows that his days are... The Bible says that when Jesus comes, the nations are going to be judged. The Bible says that when Jesus comes in his revelation, that Israel is going to be saved out of it. Israel's going through it, but she's going to be saved out of it. The church is going to be saved from it. That's right. Take your Bibles and turn with me back to Genesis chapter 7. Now I'll close. Brother Grady will preach. Thank the Lord for him. Now listen. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 17, with this I close. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. There's a picture of your church. This is a description of the flood, God's judgment upon the diluvian age. Noah's neighbors. All right? And God got the saved ones, and there were only eight, Peter said. Noah and his wife, the three sons and their wives, and he took them into the ark. And God shut the door. And then the flood came and destroyed everyone else that was on the earth. But look, what happened to these saved ones during that time of judgment? Where were they? Were they going through it? No. The Scripture says they were lift up above it. And my dear friend, that's exactly where I'm going to be when God brings this time of anguish and unprecedented sorrow and tribulation on this earth. I'm going to be higher. I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be lift up above this earth. Oh, I wouldn't want to go through the tribulation. I'm glad God promises that we are going to be kept from it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I'll also keep thee from, out from, the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the earth to try men dwell on the earth. Let's pray.